Man, I got down to Holy Ghost shouting match, and we prayed down the glory of God for Eagle's Nest, and you're going to see the fruit of it in our midst. Praise the Lord. You're going to fight some bloody battles, but the Lord says, take all the land. Listen to this in verse 23. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses. And Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes. And the land rested from war. When's your body going to rest from war? The Bible says that the enemy is warring against your soul. He's warring in your body and in your mortal body and your members. When I got healed of ileitis of the intestines, I went on to get some more promised possession. I went after the kidneys and the Bright's disease of the kidneys. I went after encephalitis of the brain. I broke the power of hay fever in my nasal cavities and my lungs. I came against the strongholds of back's disease. I had such a bad back, I was at the chiropractor spending hundreds of dollars. And I said, devil, I take back the land of my back. And my back is restored in the name of... Why do you think I have a mighty anointing for healing of backs today? Because God healed mine when I stood in faith and possessed my land. I took all the land. And today, I'm not sickly. I'm not unhealthy. I'm a powerful man of God. I'm full of God's health. And I've taken my land in the name of Jesus. And you can take yours too. Keep going against the devil till you take all the land. Don't be excited about a toothache being healed. Go for the earache. Go for everything. Then when you got your body healed, go for your family. Get every one of them healed. Don't be settled until... You know what? You know what? I said, Lord, why am I supposed to go out and pray for everybody else now? He said, you keep the devil so on the run, your faith level keeps getting higher and higher. He can't even find a place to get in to hit your body again because you're praying for everybody else. Even Job, when he prayed for his friends, the Lord restored him. When he went out and started praying for other people, the Bible says, pray ye one for another that ye may be healed. Go and start praying for other people to get loosed, even if you're not healed today. I used to pray for people when I was in so much pain that I was on pain pills. And I'd go and rebuke devils and cast sickness and disease out of their bodies. They were being healed. And I found out as I'd pray for them, I was getting healed. So most of you sitting back there, oh God, we've taken one land, but can we hold on to this land? Oh God, let me hold on to this part. Oh, I got a little possession here, God. Don't let me lose it. You were never told to hold the fort. You were told to go out and take the land. Amen. Did Joshua give back any territory? No. Did he squat on what he had and say, I'm happy with this much. This is enough. He took the whole land. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Healing is a walk. You must possess your land, and then you must stay in the land and keep it from being taken back. Because the Bible specifically says, we shared this last week, that Satan cometh immediately to steal the seed that was sown. He's going to try to steal your healing. We teach in our counseling department how to walk in healing, how to walk in deliverance, as much as we teach on the Word of God so they can receive these things. Over 12 years ago, after I was miraculously healed of my intestinal disease called ileitis, I went for several months without any digestive problems or pains. I was just ecstatic. After years and years of torment and misery, not able to digest my food, taking all kinds of digestive aids like Metamucil and laxatives, trying to keep the food moving through my body, and having all kinds of blockage where I thought I would need surgery. Then the night I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, Jesus supernaturally healed me. I started eating all kinds of foods like nuts and chocolates and everything I shouldn't have eaten. I mean, ice cream, roughage like lettuce and vegetables and fresh fruits, things that I could never eat before. I was delivered. I was healed. And I just ecstatic over it. But then, after several months of walking in this healing, I had to go in for a routine physical one day. And as I went in for my physical, something disastrous happened. The doctor decided to do an x-ray of my intestines just to see how I was getting along. Did you know that doctors' reports can be just like the spies that went into the promised land and brought back an evil report? They didn't look at the promise of God. They looked at the natives. Yeah, they looked at the big giants that were in the land, the sons of Anak. And they came back with an evil report. They said, there's big, tall, walled cities, and there's great big giants in the land. And man, they're going to eat us alive. We can't go in there and possess that land. Only Joshua and Caleb said, they're bread for us. Let's go in and possess what God told us is ours. Well, that doctor brought me an evil report. He came back with those x-rays, and he said, Gary, these intestines, that's the rattiest set of intestines I've ever seen in my life. He said, how in the world are you digesting any food? I said, I don't know. Man, they do look bad. And suddenly, I was going by what I saw with my physical eyes, what I heard with my ears, which was what the doctor was saying, and what I felt in my body, because immediately before I left the doctor's office, I was starting to feel the ratty intestines. They didn't feel right anymore. I went home, and all the symptoms of that nausea, that pain, that like spasms in my colon and intestines, all of it was starting to come back. And I was being ripped off because I was walking by sight rather than by faith. You've got to walk by what the Word says, or you'll never win in this spiritual fight. How many of you feel saved all the time? I very seldom feel really saved. I don't walk by sight or feeling. I walk by the Word of God. I'm saved because the Bible says I'm saved. Well, here was one thing that was working in my favor. I had run into a teaching called the faith teaching. And whether all of it is totally right on or not, it was building my faith. And I went home, I got several faith and healing tapes out, and I started filling my spirit with the living Word of God. I filled my spirit, I listened to tapes, I read the Word, because I knew that fear and unbelief were trying to choke out the Word of God on healing that had been sown in my heart. And I asked Jesus, lovely Jesus, to sustain the faith that He had given me for my healing. I said, Jesus, my faith is being shaken. The devil's trying to steal that seed. Jesus, help me to have enough faith to maintain this healing. I went back to the Word because Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And as I read the Word and I listened to tapes, my faith level started to grow. I said, it is my birthright. It is blood bought through the stripes of Jesus. Healing belongs to me, and I'm not going to be ripped off by the devil. And as my faith level grew, so did my healing manifest and stayed. And I have had that healing for the last 12, 13 years now. The devil has never been able to rob me of that healing. It came back. It took a few weeks to restore completely, but I am healed. And I'll tell you what, walking in health is a battle. You're going to be tested. If there weren't trials and battles, why would it be called the fight of faith? The devil's going to test you. God's not testing you, but you're going to be tested on your healing. Now, I believe it's displeasing to God for us to allow Satan to rip us off. Hebrews 10:38 in the Amplified, God says, if any man draws back or shrinks in fear, my soul has no delight or pleasure in him. When you get ripped off of some gift that God has given you, God says, I have no delight in you because you're drawing back and shrinking in fear. You're letting the devil have the high control in your life rather than me. Hebrews 10, verses 35 and 36, God says it so plain. He says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Confidence is another word for faith. For it has great recompense of reward. It's a promise of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. You have need of patience. Patience is endurance. It's steadfastness. It's standing on the Word no matter what you feel or see. In verse 36, the Amplified Bible says, for you have need of steadfast patience and endurance so that you may perform and fully accomplish the will of God. And thus you will receive and carry away and enjoy to the full what is promised. I want to receive from God. I want to enjoy to the full the promise of my healing. Now don't imagine yourself like some Christians do. They waver in their faith. They're like a circus artist under the big top, walking on a tightrope above the gazing crowd. Now I'm on. Now I may be off. Don't treat your miraculous healing as if you were a balancing acrobat precariously swaying on the tightrope of your health. Now I'm still holding on. I'm holding on. That old deafness has still not come back yet. My crippling arthritis is still not acting up again. It seems that my cancerous tumor has not yet reappeared. How long can I go without having to take insulin for my sugar diabetes? How long before my symptoms of asthma will return? That's not Jesus glorifying, expecting it to come back. That's faith in the devil. No balancing artist would ever look downward and anticipate a fall. When such a man walks on a tightrope, he looks steadfastly ahead, but carefully avoids looking below. He looks to Jesus. A man of faith looks to Jesus, the author and finisher of his faith. He knows that Jesus will keep that which he's committed unto him. For I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him. My Jesus is keeping my healing 13 years later. I want to tell you something. My intestines are just as ratty as they were when I got those x-rays taken. But I am a walking miracle because I walk in faith in the Word of God and not by what I see with my eyes. You know, it reminds me of a cute little story of an evangelist who was into the healing ministry, but he was very uncertain. He was never sure if God was going to heal or not. You know, he wasn't locked in his faith. And one day he was having a great big auditorium meeting, and there were quite a few people present, but he was not the kind of daring young evangelist who just knew that he knew that he knew that he knew that God was a healer. So he was walking up and down the aisles looking at people that needed healing and hoping for headaches and things that wouldn't be seen. And he sees this man on crutches, and he says, "What is your name, man?" And the guy says, "My name is Joe." And he says, "Joe, the Lord shows me something's wrong with your legs." Joe said, "That's right. That's right. My legs are crippled. I can barely walk around." He says, the Lord is showing me, Joe, that if you go up behind that curtain, he's going to heal you later in this service." So Joe gets on his crutches and he walks up behind the curtain and he disappears. So this healing evangelist, he's walking up a few more rows and he sees a guy with his teeth clenched like this. And he says, "What's your name?" And the guy says, "My name is Henry." He says, "Henry, the Lord shows me something's wrong with your mouth." He says, "That's right. I can't open my mouth. I can't talk very good." He says, "Henry, go up behind that curtain, and I'm going to call on you in a moment, and God's going to open your mouth, and you're going to be healed." So Henry goes up, ambles behind the curtain, and a little while later, he's preaching away, and he decides their faith level is high. Since I don't have much faith, I'll just let them believe for these two. And he says, "How many of you believe that Henry and Joe are being healed tonight?" Hands went up everywhere, and he says, "Joe, throw out one of those crutches." And sure enough, a crutch comes running and just flying over the curtain, and everybody goes bananas. "Yeah, hallelujah, hallelujah, okay." And everybody's so ecstatic. And he says, "Joe, throw out another crutch." And sure enough, here comes another crutch over the curtain, and man, everybody, "Ah, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise." You know, the whole place is going into insanity. And he says, "The Lord's showing me now, Henry, that he's going to open your mouth and set your teeth free." He says, "Henry, say something." And from behind the curtain you hear, "Joe just fell." That is not a good illustration of my message today. But it does show that there is a force of faith that is not faith. That is what you call presumption. In verse 38, let me read what verse 38 of Hebrews chapter 10 says, where God speaks again. He says, "Now the just shall live by faith." Not by what they feel, not what they see, not what the symptoms in their body tell them. The just shall live by faith. "But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." If he draws back and begins to go by his senses, God says, "My soul shall have no pleasure in him." Let's not offend God by treating his healing work like a badly repaired car that goes for a few miles before the old trouble reappears. The Amplified calls this shrinking back in fear. That brings us to principle number two for keeping our healing. Now we learned that principle number one is that we're to possess our land, just like the children of Israel with Joshua went in. The land was promised, but they had to go and possess it by faith. They had to go in and battle for it, take it, and then occupy it. And Jesus even says, occupy till I return. We have to occupy those things that we possess. And I'll tell you, my healing is a land. My body is my land. It's the land of God. It's the temple of God. And I'm occupying my healing until Jesus returns. Now, the second principle is to know your enemy, because it's called fear and unbelief. Fear and unbelief manifests when a person begins to question whether he was really healed or not. Fear, in reality, is faith. Not in God, but in Satan. When you fear, your faith is in the devil. Fear of the reoccurrence of a cancerous tumor, for instance, means to believe in the ultimate victory of the cancer. Such a person fears, whether knowingly or just not admitting it, that the inevitable killer will soon or later emerge from the background to afflict, torment, and destroy again. It grieves me when I see someone begin to receive their healing by faith and then look at their symptoms rather than God's omnipotent word. And many churches breed this type of people. People that don't go by the word or by faith, they go by what they feel. Like the doubting Thomas that said, unless I put my hands in his side and feel him, I will not believe. And Jesus comes and he says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Once years ago, I was fellowshipping with a girl. That's my word for dating. I was fellowshipping with a girl whose mother was slowly dying of cancer. We would go out at night and she would tell me what a heavy burden it was as they watched their mother dissipating under this cancer. And I was at the time teaching a series on faith and healing. And so my faith level was very high. And God gave me a beautiful confidence that her mother could be healed. I started sharing with this girl that if she would work with me, I said, let's just beat the devil up. I'm going to take it on as a challenge to defeat that cancerous devil. So I brought that mother tapes and books on healing. I had her start listening to those. She had a tape recorder. I said, listen to these healing tapes and read these books. And then after she got her faith level going, I instructed them from the word how it was God's absolute will to heal, how Jesus never turned anybody away that came to him for healing, how God said it was part of his covenant to take sickness out of the midst of us, how his name is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals us, how he sent his word, and the two things that God preeminently came to do was to forgive us of all of our iniquities and heal us of all of our diseases. I told her how to receive by faith, and I told her that she needed to confess her healing and to confess the word of God to defeat the devil, just like Jesus did. You know, the most beautiful thing happened. She started to sparkle. You could see a joy coming into her spirit because all of her friends had been telling her, now listen, heaven's going to be a glorious place, and death is not so bad because death has lost its sting, and God loves you so much, you've had a full life. And they were preparing her for death. And here I come, and I'm preparing her for life. I'm pumping her full of the Word of God. And she began to get this positive dose of faith. And miracle of miracles, all of the symptoms started to go away. Within days, this lady showed remarkable improvement. The pain was disappearing. And my joyful confidence was growing. She was confessing the word every day. She'd get up with her daughter and she'd say things like this. The word of God says, by his stripes I was healed. And I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. The word of God is alive. It's spirit and it's truth. And I'm walking in God's health. My body is throwing off this cancer. the Lord is delivering me. And her daughter would get her to make confessions like that. It was great. I mean, I was loving it. Then about 3 days later, the daughter told me that her mother was beginning to speak negatively again. I said, what? Why? Why? She said, well, some of her church friends came and visited her the other night, and they came over with all their sympathy and negative words. And it was one of those churches that believes that God heals some, but not all. That God sovereignly, by an act of His grace, will heal whom He wills, but God doesn't desire to heal all. That God sometimes chastens us with sickness and disease. That God will put a cancer on you to train you or teach you something. How many of you fathers would love to put a cancer on your little boy to beat the rebellion out of him? I kind of think that if we wouldn't do it, God wouldn't do it. I'd rather be chastened of the word of the Lord. He has stronger measures He can inflict upon us, but nowhere in the Bible do I find any proof that God has ever afflicted with sickness or disease. Anyway, her friends came over. One of them reminded her not to get too hopeful. She said, well, that young man, you know, we don't believe the way that young pastor is teaching you. You know, our pastor has taught us that God heals some, but not all. And it would be cruel to get your hopes up only to have a relapse. I am so glad Jesus never said that it would be cruel to get your hopes up to those who came to Him for healing. Remember the two blind men in Matthew 9, verses 27 through 29? The two blind men that came to Jesus? And let me read it to you. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed Him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when He was come into the house, the blind men came to Him. And Jesus saith unto them, don't get your hopes up. God doesn't always heal, but we'll give it a shot. And if today's the right day, maybe you'll receive some sight. No, Jesus said this, believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto Him, yea, Lord, yes, yes, we believe. What if they had said, Lord Jesus, we know You've healed other people, but we just don't want to get our hopes up. We want to be religious. We want to act spiritual. We want to make sure that if we don't get healed, that we won't be cruelly disappointed. Jesus, help our unbelief. They said, yes, Lord, and that was probably the best faith statement they could have made. Keep your mouth shut unless it's going to say something with faith in it. Amen. Verse 29, then touched He their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. They received their sight. They went and told everyone. According to their faith. I went to that little woman after she got that negative report from her friends. And I said, you know what is happening? You're being ripped off. The devil is speaking to you through your friends. Now, I love you. I'm sure they're nice friends and all, but they're being used to rip off your faith, to put you into unbelief, to put you into a realm of hope. But faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith takes the things you've been hoping for and makes them a reality right now. Faith is now. It's now. Faith says right now I'm healed. I'm not looking to the future. I'm not hoping someday in the by and by, if God feels good, He's going to give me something. I'm taking what God promised and I'm making it a reality right now. Faith is now the things hoped for and the substance of things, not the evidence of things not seen. I don't have to see it with my physical eyes. I said, woman, the Bible says, according to your faith, be it unto you. Your faith right now is not to get your hopes up. Your faith is that you're going to die. And it's better not to give you a cruel hope and let you die. I said, don't be ripped off. Please don't be ripped off. Don't you know that Proverbs chapters 23 and verse 7 says, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What you're filling your heart with, all this unbelief, that's the way you're going to be. You know what? I get surprised when I get afflicted now. Because I walk with a health mentality. I think of myself as healthy. And I get really surprised. I go to work and I say, I can't believe it. I'm being attacked. I really. Now, my secretaries they catch me saying a negative once in a while, and man, they jump on top of me with their Bibles in their hand, put their foot in my face, and say, "No!" I have some good faith secretaries. I don't want to give you the idea that I'm an absolute faith giant. I have little slips once in a while. But I desperately tried to get that woman to be faith-filled and positive, but she based her faith on her friend's advice and her symptoms. And of course, she died a few months later. You see, although the fearful would never admit it, fear is an inner testimony of the devil's superiority over Jesus. "Granted," says the coward in his heart, "Jesus seems to help for the moment, but that which was determined by Beelzebub the devil would happen just the same. Jesus might have healed me for the moment, but I know the devil's more powerful than Jesus, and he's going to give me those symptoms back. I just know it, I know it, I know it." That's fear, and that will rob you every time. Which brings us to principle number 3. To remain healed, you must act healed. James 2, verse 17 in the Amplified Bible says, "So also faith, if it does not have works, deeds and actions of obedience to back it up, by itself is destitute of power, inoperative, dead." Faith without works is dead. I remember years ago I was on a skiing trip with some of my friends. One of my friends played a trick on me that was very dangerous. He was down the hill from me, and he had just gone over this little hump, a mogul, and it sort of jumped him up in the air, and he disappeared over the mogul, and when he finally got up, he yelled up, he says, "Gary, come on down and just do a little jump over this mogul." And I thought, well, he just disappeared behind there. I didn't know he was practically crippled from the fall. So I went skiing down the hill, and I went over that mogul and realized when I was up in the air, there was a 10-foot drop on the other side. And I don't know how I did it, but I fell on my head and my foot at the same time. My ski didn't come off, and it wrenched my leg so bad I thought I had broken it, but my ankle was totally sprained. I mean, a really bad sprain. And by the time I rolled down the hill on my backside, I could barely walk, and my leg was swelling up, my ankle was swelling up, and I sat in the lodge, depressed. My skiing weekend was over. And I started meditating on the Word. Now, the Lord started dealing with me. He said, "Gary, why don't you receive your healing?" I said, "No way, God, look at that, it's all swollen up already. I can't even walk on it, much less receive my healing. I got to receive my healing if it wasn't swelled up. And God started dealing with my heart. He said, "Gary, you can have, according to your faith, be it unto you. You can have what you say." I walked out of the lodge, and I was going to cripple, you know, I was half crippled. I was sort of dragging my leg up to the condominium that we had rented up at the top of the hill. And I had to go up this long hill, and I'm saying, "Oh, God, the trial of my faith is more precious than gold tried in fire." And God said, "Gary, receive your healing." And suddenly I said, wait a minute. I'm not going to be ripped off. Devil, I want you to watch this. I receive my healing in the name of Jesus. It's the gift of God. Jesus purchased it on the cross. If I keep it, then I haven't given it to him. If I carry it in my body, he didn't carry it in his body. Therefore, in Jesus' name, I declare my ankle is no longer going to be swollen. All the pain is going, the sprain is going, and I receive my healing now. Pointed at that foot and said, "Foot, now operate perfectly." Started up the hill, dragging my foot. I said, "Now wait a minute, faith without works is dead. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to walk on this foot as though it were healed." Now this is where the real trial of your faith comes. I started walking up, "In the name of Jesus, I am healed. In the name of Jesus, I am in the name of Jesus, I am in the name, in the name, in the name of Jesus." And I was running up the hill, all the pain was gone, the swelling was going, and by the time I got to the top, my foot was healed. I swear it was healed. I went back and skied the rest of that weekend. I had learned the principle of faith without action. Practice this thought in respect to your healing. If your heart disease was healed, do not continue to be overcautious with your movements. Don't stay away from normal activities of life to avoid putting a strain on your heart. Do you think the Lord has healed you just enough that by living still and quiet like an Egyptian mummy, you may last out a few more years? Now be very careful lest you become too careful and break the rules of faith and open up yourself to heart disease once more. There's a lot of people today that think, well, I'm healed, now I better be real careful or it might come back. That's fear again. That's not faith, that's unbelief. Now I admit that we should take some caution. You don't just run out after you've had a leg healing. You don't go out and run 4 miles to check it out. I'm not saying that we shouldn't use some caution in exercising our newly healed organs, our limbs, or our lungs. Even a car needs warming up before we drive it after a winter freeze. I mean, I warm my car up for a while after I drive it. I mean, before I drive it. I'm the only person on my block that warms it up when I get it in the garage at night. You understand what I'm saying? If you get your leg healed, start walking around the block. The next day, start jogging a little bit. Show the devil that you're taking your promised land. You're possessing the land, and you're not backing off. Amen. Let the person who's healed of a stomach ulcer eat normally like anyone else. Let the one healed of tuberculosis begin to jog longer and longer distances. Let the formerly broken back bend and lift and stretch according to how the happy believer goes about his work, whether he digs, loads his truck, or climbs. I've had so many people that receive healings and immediately go out and put it to use. Show the devil you're possessing your land and occupying it. I remember when I was in the mountains with the pastors last week, I told you that I got terrible flu, really bad flu symptom. I had an attack of the flu so bad that I was nauseated. I was up all night throwing up. I mean, that Thursday night, I thought I was going to die. It's like Cecil says. He says, I was so sick, I was anxious that I might die. Then I got so sick that I was concerned that I might not die. That's sick. Well, Friday afternoon, I was in my bed. I had to get in close proximity to the restroom. And I was laying there with my eye on the restroom, listening to them praying the faith prayer out in the living room. And then I told you last week how Cecil finally hit the table. He says, that's it, devil. Take your hands off Pastor Gary. We refuse to let him be diseased and sick. You've taken enough ground, and we take it back now in the name of Jesus. Man, it was like the wind of God went through that bedroom. It went right through me. I sat up in my bed, and he said, I saw you sitting on your bed there with your eyes wide open. I jumped up out of that bed. I said, man, what in the world? Cecil just touched God. I walked out there, I said, let's pray and beat the devil up for the rest of the afternoon. And we finished our prayer and communion that afternoon, and I was strengthened. Man, I knew that I had received the healing touch of God. But I want to tell you something that I was tested on. I was still battling some nausea, but I was determined not to back down. I knew God had touched me, strengthened me. Before that, I could barely walk around the house. I had a good suntan, and it had drained out. I was just white like a ghost now. My color had come back, and I was just feeling great. But I was still battling some of those symptoms. Ephesians 6:13 says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that's made up of faith and the word, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. What is the evil day? It tells us in verse 11. It says that we're standing against the wiles and attacks of the devil. It says, take on this whole armor of God that you might stand in the evil day when the devil attacks you, and having done all, to stand. I remember in those movies of the Roman soldiers, they used to get all of them lined up in single file. They'd have their little shields shield to shield, and they'd start walking forwards. And when the enemies would come on their horses, throwing their spears and shooting their arrows, they would just plant those shields in the ground, and they would stand there, and they wouldn't back down for anything. And God says, get your faith weapons in place. Get the shield of faith right there. Hold on to what you have. Tell the devil that's as far as you go. No matter what kind of spears you throw at, no matter kind of arrows you throw at me, I'm going to stand. I'm not backing down. Do you understand? That's the kind of stand I had to make, because I felt nauseous. I didn't want to throw up on Cecil after he had prayed the prayer of faith. When I got home that night, I decided I was going to act healed. I was still nauseated. Now my body said, go to bed, take care of yourself, have a bit of a pity party, and call somebody and tell them how bad you feel. I decided that was not the way to act healed. So I took a shower, I called my friends up, and I said, let's go out and have a good time. And we went out on the town and ate dinner. The next day I woke up, and I was still nauseated. And I was working on my message, nauseated. And I said, devil, you're not going to steal. I've done all and I'm standing. I'm not going to let you rip me off just for that, devil. I'm going to go to the health club. I went to the health club and worked out for 1 hour, nauseated, acting healed in the name of Jesus. Came home, worked on my message, went to bed at 11:30, got up the next day and kicked the devil in the teeth, did my message on healing and how to keep it. And man, we took some ground from the devil last Sunday morning because we did not back down. I want you to remember, after you receive your healing, the Bible says Satan comes immediately to steal the seed that was sown. Which brings us to principle number 4. Faith battles must be fought. Without the battle, there's no need for faith. How can you fight the good fight of faith if there's no fight to fight? How can you take the weapons of your warfare? Why would you need weapons and armor? Why would you need those things unless somebody was battling you? Well, I want to say this. You may lose a few minor battles where symptoms start to return, but you need never lose the war. Determine yourself you will not lose the war. Healing belongs to you. Healing, I'll say something that this is so important. Healing is not a reward for our good conduct. It is given purely as a gift of God and according to your faith. It's a gift of God. It's given by God's grace. He never rewards you. Some people think, when I get my walk a little holier, when I've walked with God a little longer, then God will heal me. God will heal you today if you're a reprobate sinner. A couple of weeks ago, we had three women that came to our service who came up with terrible back diseases. We prayed for all three of them. Two of them went down in the spirit. When we gave the altar call, there they were, coming to the altar to get saved, so that God healed them before they were even saved. Then we found out 2 days later that they were part of the Science of the Mind Church. Do you remember that testimony coming in where we found out they were from the Science of the Mind Church? And they had come in to check out this healing by Jesus' blood compared to their healing by psychic ability. They found out a greater power was working in us, the power of Jesus Christ, and they came to Him and made Him Lord of their lives. God didn't heal them because they deserved it. He healed them because it's a gift of His grace, and they received it by faith. There's a man who wrote a book called The Day After Jesus Heals You. His name's Don Oden. And he's ministered incredible healings and miracles around the world, including he had one time an eyeball created in an empty eye socket. He's had goiters that are, you know, great big goiters on people's bodies. He goes and lays hands on them and the goiters just disappear. He's had lame people that jump up and run around the building. And Don says, in relation to this gift of God, God healing, not by your good conduct or your deserving, he says, I have seen cruel men with many wives in Africa who had faith and were healed. Once I even prayed for a communist informer who had betrayed many Christians, but he had faith and was instantly healed of his deaf ear. I was at Brant Baker one time, a lady was a psychic witch, and God had healed her of some kind of intestinal disease or something. I mean, I forget what it was exactly, but she was miraculously healed, giving her testimony, and Brant Baker led her in the sinner's prayer to receive Jesus. God heals by His grace. It's a gift. Now, knowing that, the question is, but what do we do if we feel the old pains or see the former symptoms returning? What do we do when our faith is tested? When we see our healing being stolen? First of all, realize it is not God but Satan who is tempting you and trying to steal your healing. I want you to realize that. James 1:13 says, let no man say when he is tempted or tried, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted or tried with evil, neither tempteth he or tries he any man. God does not use evil to try us. Secondly, when God bestows a gift of healing, He will never take it back. What is a gift? If you take it back, is it a gift? It's called the gifts of healing. God is not an Indian giver. I had to get this firmly in my mind because I had to realize that God gives gifts and gifts are forever. Romans 11:29 says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. You know, that's really good, because I've had times when I felt like, boy, God, I blew it. Last week I blew it bad. Am I still anointed? God says the anointing, the gifts, the callings I've given you, they're without repentance. Once I give them, they're given. I've seen men that are reprobates sleeping with all kinds of women that are living alcoholic binges. They're a testimony of carnality, and yet God uses them in healing and signs, because God's gifts are without repentance. God never repents and says, I'm sorry. Well, He probably does say He's sorry He gave it to us, but He never repents of it and takes it back. You understand that? Now, if that means that whatever God gives you is on a permanent basis, then having established that fact, then we know that the reoccurring symptoms are being planted on us by the devil. And you are A, not afraid of them, because they can only be temporary in view of the permanent healing you had already received from the Lord Jesus. If my symptoms start returning, it's got to be the devil coming with temporary symptoms, and if I stand on the permanent healing that God gave me, I'm going to keep it. Now, B, you consider these symptoms only illusions, because only the Word of God is real. Therefore, you will not say, my sickness has returned. Who do you want to carry your disease? Do you want to carry it, or do you want to believe what God's Word says, that Jesus already carried it? Matthew 8:17, Jesus Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses, which fulfilled Isaiah 53, it says. Isaiah 53 speaks of the cross, verses 4 and 5, surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Did He or didn't He take your infirmities and sicknesses upon Himself? I don't know about you, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and He has paid the price, and we are healed. Amen.